The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 5, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari, recorded on October 31st, 2012, in Riga, Latvia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tan Vabhashe
Svabhu
Putran
Praja
Shrijata
Putraka
Tat Na Aichchan
Mukshadharmana
Vasudeva
Parayanaha
Tanvabhashe Svabhu Putran Prajasrijata Putraka Tannaischan Mokshadharmano Vasudeva Parayana Tan Babashe Svabhu Putran Prajasrijata Putraka Tannaichchan Mokshadharmano Vasudeva Parayana Tan unto the Kumaras, as above mentioned. Babashe addressed Svabhu Brahma Putran unto the sons Praja generations Shrijata to create Putraka
O my sons.
Tat that na not Aichan desired
Mokshadharmana
pledged to the principles of liberation Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead. Parayana, who are so devoted. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Brahma spoke to his sons after generating them. My dear sons, he said, now generate progeny. But due to their being attached to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they aimed at liberation, and therefore they expressed their unwillingness. Purport.
Kad Brahma bija radījis savus dēlus, viņš tos uzrunāja. Mani dārgie dēli, viņš sacīja, tagad radiet pēcnācējus. Bet tā kā viņa dēli bija pieķērušies Vasudeva, Dieva augstākajai personībai, tie tiecās uz atbrīvi un tāpēc izteica savu nevēlēšanos.
Purport. The four sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, declined to become family men, even on the request of their great father Brahma. Those who were serious about gaining release from material bondage should not be entangled in the false relationship of family bondage. People may ask how the Kumaras could refuse the orders of Rama, who was their father and above all the creator of the universe. The reply is that one who is Vasudeva Parayana are seriously engaged in the devotional service of the personality of Godhead Vasudev need not care for any other obligation. It is enjoined in the Bhagavatam 11.5.41, Devarshir Bhutapta Nirnam Patrinam Na Kinkaro Nayam Rani Sharajan Savatmana Yasharanang Sharyanyam Gato Mukundam Parehrita Karatam. Anyone who has completely given up all worldly relationships and has taken absolute shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord who gives us salvation and who alone is fit to be taken shelter of is no longer a debtor or a servant of anyone, including the demigods, forefathers, sages, other living entities, relatives, and members of human society. Thus, there was nothing wrong in the acts of the Kumaras when they refused their great father's request that they become family men.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamana Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganutanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Badijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanditam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashat Yadeshatarine.
So normally, in this material world, we are very much entangled in obligations. By the stringent laws of karma. We are obligated in so many ways. To your parents.
Mums ir pienākumi vecāku priekšā.
To your grandparents.
Vecvecāku priekšā.
To anyone who has facilitated you in any way, you are karmically obliged to repay them.
Ja kāds mums ir darījis kaut ko mūsu labā, tad pēc karmas mēs esam viņa parādnieki.
Just like I see this lady riding the streetcar here. She's looking at our class right now. So she's riding on the streetcar. Somebody has built that streetcar. Somebody has built the road in which the streetcar is running. So that lady is taking advantage of all the facilities. They're obeyed and prepared for her by other people. So she's karmically obliged to pay back the person who designed the streetcar, the person who's driving the streetcar, the person who put the road there, etc., etc.
Pēc karmas viņai vajag kaut kā atmaksāt šiem cilvēkiem, kuri ir uzbūvējuši ceļu, pa kuru brauc tramvajs, uzbūvējuši tramvaju kādam citam, kas vada šo tramvaju.
When someone goes to school, somebody teaches them the alphabet.
Cilvēks dodas uz skolu un kāds viņam māca alfabētu.
Somebody teaches them arithmetic.
Kāds viņam māca rezrēķinu, matemātiku.
So they are karmically obligated to pay back that person. the teach
viņu pienākums ir atmaksāt atpakaļ šiem cilvēkiem, kas to ir darījis viņu labā.
What to speak of the demigods?
Ko gan teikt par padieviem?
Just like I noticed, you just blinked your eyes.
Es ievēru jūs pamanīšanājāt acis tik tikko.
There's a demigod that empowered you to blink your eyes.
Ir padievs, kas deva jums šādu spēju mirkšanāt acis.
So you're obliged to that demigod, the eye blinker controller, you're obliged to pay him back?
Un līdz ar to jūs esat parādā padīlam, kurš atbild par acu mirkšanāšanu, un jums kaut kā šis parāds ir jāatmaksā.
In this way we are inconceivably tied up in obligations.
Un tādā veidā mums ir neiedomājami daudz dažādu pienākumu, dažādu parādu, kas mums ir jāatmaksā.
Some people have a dog, the dog serves them nicely.
Cilvēkam, teiksim, pieder suns, kas labi viņam kalpo.
So they have an karmic obligation to their dog also.
Un viņiem ir karmiskas pienākums savu suņa priekšā.
So it's very, very tightly bound up in this karmic knot of obligations in this material world.
Šādā veidā mēs esam ļoti cieši sapīti šajā karmisko pienākumu mezglā.
But one who surrenders to Krishna,
bet ja kāds uztic sevi Krishna,
his only business is to please Krishna.
Tad viss, kas rūp viņam, ir iepriecināt Krishna.
He is automatically freed from all obligations.
Un šāds cilvēks automātiski tiek atbrīvots no visām savām saistībām.
Does this mean he has become irresponsible?
Vai tas nozīmē, ka viņš ir kļuvis bezatbildīgs?
No. This means he's become more responsible.
Nē, tas tā nav. Patiesībā viņš ir kļuvis daudz atbildīgāks.
Because Krishna is the ultimate provider of everything.
Tāpēc, ka gal galā tas ir Krishna, kurš visu mums sagādā.
Everyone else is simply an agent for Krishna's facilitating the living being.
Un visi pārējie gal galā ir tikai starpnieki, caur kuriem Krishna dod dzīvē būtnē visu nepieciešamo.
Therefore, when you give your loving service to Krishna,
tāpēc, kad jūs dodat Krishnam savu mīlestības pilno kalpošanu,
you've automatically paid back all obligations.
Jūs automātiski jau esat samaksājuši visus savus parādus.
You have not neglected any obligations.
Jūs neesat atstājuši novārtā nekādu no savām saistībām.
Trying to pay back those obligations on your own without Krishna consciousness, you will never become perfect.
Ja jūs mēģināsiet izpildīt savas saistības bez Krishnas apziņas saviem spēkiem, jūs nekad nespēsiet to paveikt ideāli.
You will never get free from those obligations.
Un jūs nekad neatbrīvosieties no šiem saistībām.
But when you simply surrender to Krishna,
bet jūs vienkārši uzticat sevi Krishnam,
immediately all obligations finished.
Nekavējoties visi šis, because, jūs kļūsat brīvi no visām šiem saistībām.
Because through Krishna, now you have fulfilled, you have actually taken care of every obligation.
Tāpēc, ka caur Krishna jūs automātiski esat tikuši galā ar visām šiem saistībām.
In this particular pastime,
šajā konkrētajā spēlē,
the four Kumaras are the progeny of Brahma.
Šie četri Kumari, viņi ir Brahmas radīti, Brahmas dēli.
So they have an obligation therefore to progenate on the order of Lord Brahma.
Un līdz ar to viņiem ir saistība pildīt Brahmas rīkojumu pašiem radīt pēcnācējus.
You have been progenated.
Jūs esat kāda cilvēka pēcnācējs.
Somebody progenated you, now you have to pay back by progenating someone else.
Jūs esat kāda radīti, kāda pēcnācējiem, tāpēc jums ir pašiem arī jārada pēcnācēji.
But the the Kumaras flatly refused. No, we will stay brahmachari.
Bet Kumari, viņi skaidri atteicās no tā, viņi teica, nē, mēs paliksim par brahmachari.
From an ordinary moral viewpoint, these are juvenile delinquents.
No parastās morālas viedokļa viņi ir nepilngadīgi noziedznieki.
They're irresponsible rascals.
Viņi ir bezatbildīgi nelieši.
They are disobeying the order of their father.
Viņi nepakļaujas savā tēva norādījumam.
But from the spiritual viewpoint, which is the actual viewpoint,
bet no garīgā viedokļa, kas ir patiesais viedoklis,
because they are simply interested in serving the Supreme.
Tāpēc, ka viņi ir vienkārši iesaistījušies visaugstā kalpošanā visaugstiem kungam,
automatically they are freed up from any karmic debt, you see.
Viņi nekavējoties atbrīvojas no visiem saviem karmiskajiem pienākumiem.
When you water the root of the tree,
ja jūs laistat koka saknes,
all the leaves and branches are nourished.
Līdz ar to tiek baroti gan koka visas lapas un visas.
When you feed your body,
ja jūs pārēdināt,
you put food in the mouth,
jūs liekat ēdienu mutē,
it goes to the belly,
tas godas uz vēderu.
And every single part of your body receives the benefit of that nourishment.
Tā pateicoties kuņģim, visas ķermeņa daļas saņem enerģiju un tiek barotas.
Therefore, when you surrender to Krishna,
tāpēc, tad, kad jūs uzticat sevi Krishna,
one is automatically the best fulfiller of all obligations.
Tādā veidā viņš vis ideālākā veidā piepilda visas jūsu.
One becomes the best son.
Un cilvēks piepilda visas savas saistības, viņš kļūst par vislabāko dēlu.
The best daughter.
Vislabāko meitu.
The best mother.
Vislabāko māti.
The best father.
Labāko dēlu.
The best husband.
Labāko vīru.
The best wife.
Labāko sievu.
The best citizen.
Labāko pilsoni.
The best friend.
Labāko draugu.
The best teacher.
Labāko skolotāju.
The best leader.
Labāko vadītāju.
One becomes the best of everything when he surrenders to Krishna.
Kad cilvēks uztic sevi Krishna, viņš kļūst par vislabāko jebkurā jomā.
So why then are we holding on to this conception of family obligations?
Tad kāpēc gan mēs turamies pie šīs ģimenes pienākuma idejas?
You know what Bhagavatam says about people who hold on to this sense of family obligations?
Jūs zināt, ko Bhagavatam saka par cilvēkiem, kas turās pie šīs idejas, ka viņiem ir ģimenes pienākumi.
Sa eva gokaraha. You're simply a cow or an ass.
Tad ir teiks, jūs esat vienkārši govs vai ēzelis.
Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we can fulfill those obligations.
Protams, Krishna's apziņā mēs varam izpildīt šos šīs saistības.
By offering them to Krishna.
Piedāvājot šīs saistības Krishna.
Just like Prabhupada told the he wanted the devotees to get Back to Godhead magazine subscriptions for their parents.
Pieņemsim, Prabhupada vēlējās, lai Bhaktas parakstītu uz žurnālu atpakaļ pie Dieva arī savus vecākus.
On the one hand, we Hare Krishna youth neglected our parents.
Tāpēc no vienas puses mēs kā jaunieši, kas pievienojās Hare Krishnas,
my father says,
mēs nebijām kopā ar saviem vecākiem.
My father said, son, why don't you do something to help the society, like getting a job at a hospital?
Mans tēvs teica, tāpēc dēls, kāpēc tev kaut ko neizdarīt tādu, kaut ko sabiedrības labā, teiksim, dabūt darbu, slimnīcā.
My grandmother said, why don't you become a Christian minister?
Bet mana vecmāma teica, būtu labāk kļūst par kristiešu mācītāju.
So in this way, I neglected my grandmother and my father, you see.
Tādā veidā es nepaklausīju savu tēvu vai vecmāmas norādījumiem.
But I didn't neglect them because I preached to them. I gave them prasadam, I gave them the books. I kept a relationship with them, but I engaged them in Krishna's service.
Bet tāpat laikā tas nebija tā, ka es pametu viņus tāpēc, ka es devu viņiem prasadam, es devu viņiem grāmatas, un es centos iesaistīt viņus kalpošanā Krishna.
I didn't follow their nonsense advice.
Es nesekoju viņiem muļķīgiem padomiem.
But I didn't cut off the relationship.
Bet tāpat laikā es nesarāvu attiecības ar viņiem.
did I psychologically need to have that relationship with them?
Vai man psihologiski bija nepieciešamas attiecības ar viņiem?
No, not really.
Nē, patiesībā nebija.
I have my Prabhupada.
Man ir mans Prabhupada.
Everything is there, you see.
Un līdz ar to man ir viss.
But out of kindness upon them,
bet tāpat laikā,
I maintain the relationship to help them advance in spiritual life. I didn't need it personally.
Man pašam pēc tā nebija
vajadzības. But to help them become happy, truly happy, I maintain the relationship.
Bet, lai palīdzētu kļūt viņiem laimīgiem, patiesi laimīgiem, es uzturēju ar viņiem attiecības.
So in this way we can understand how to apply these, this concept of this described in this morning's verse.
Un tādā veidā mēs varam saprast, kā pielietot šo principu, kas ir aprakstīts šī rīta pantā.
So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Es varu paprasīt vien kādu jautājumu.
I want to ask about spiritual authorities. We have to follow spiritual authorities.
Yeah.
But it said that we have not to follow blindly. So where is this line? Then we can refuse some. For example, temple president is telling something, and there is some position that I should not follow. I should follow only.
Okay, I understand. Where is?
Teiksim, ir teiks, ka mēs jautājums bija, ka mums jāsako mūsu garīgiem autoritātēm, bet mums nebūtu jāsako akli. Teiksim, ja man kaut ko saka, kā teiksim, tempļu prezidents, kur ir tā robeža, tad es varētu pateikt, nē, es to patiesībā nedarīšu.
Can I refuse the order of my temple president? That's the question. Our temple president is here giving the translation today. I better be very careful how I answer this question. Prabhupada personally told me in one letter, do whatever the temple leaders say without question. Prabhupada was teaching me to follow my authority just like in military discipline. But at the same time, that is not blind following.
Bet tāpat laikā tā nav akla sekošana.
I will give you an example.
Es došu jums piemēru.
Where Prabhupada was very displeased when the devotees blindly followed the temple authority.
Gadījumu, par ko Prabhupada bija ļoti neapmierināts par to, ka bhaktas akli sekoja tempļa autoritātei.
This is back at the, in the old days at our ISKCON temple in Brooklyn, New York.
Tas bija pašas mūsu kustības pirmsākumos ISKCON templī Brooklynā, New Yorkā.
One Japanese lady, she came to the temple.
Uz templi atnāca viena japāniete sieviete.
And she told the devotees that she was the heiress, or the inheritor, of the Toyota fortune.
Un šī sieviete pateica, ka patiesībā viņa ir Toyotas ģimene viena no mantiniecēm.
And they believed her.
Un viņi ticēja viņai.
The temple president believed her also.
Un arī temple prezidents ticēja viņai.
He was a sannyasi.
Un viņš bija sannyasi.
But he was thinking, well, this would be such a great benefit for our movement. If I married this woman, then the ISKCON would then get all this money. The whole Toyota fortune become ISKCON's money.
Un viņam radās tāda doma, ka, ja saprecētos šo sievieti, tad ISKCON's varētu mantot visas lielās Toyotas bagātības.
So he gave up his sannyas.
Viņš atteicās no savas sannyas.
He married the heiress to the Toyota fortune.
Viņš aprecējās Toyotas ģimenes mantinieci.
She became the Maharani.
Un viņa kļuva tur par Maharani.
Even though I'm a spiritual master, my disciples here, nobody's fanning me with a chamarol. I'm giving the lecture. But this woman, when she would sit to hear the Bhagavatam class, she would have a female attendant fanning her with a chamara while he was hearing the Bhagavatam class. That's how much she was honored. She had a personal servant that traveled with her. At one point, you know, Japanese people, that she likes the what are they called? Egg rolls, yes, egg rolls.
Egg rolls,
yeah.
No, because maybe see Japaniem viņiem garšo kaut kādu olu rulet, olu rulet.
She was calling the fast food people and having food delivered that contained eggs in it, eating in the temple.
Viņa dzīvoja templī, bet viņa izsauca no tiem ātrās apkalpošanas restorāniem, kuri pievada ēdienu, ka
even there were foods, even there were foods containing eggs offered to Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Under the administration of the Maharani and the former Maharaj.
Un tas notika šīs Maharani un bijušā Maharaja administrācijas vadībā.
So Srila Prabhupada was not happy that the devotees were just blindly following the temple authority, offering eggs to Radha Govinda. So there's two principles at work here. You are supposed to follow your authority. But you're not supposed to be a blind idiot either. The authority is going way off the track, then you should talk, you know, report, call the write a letter to the GBC, let them know what's going on. But that's in a very exceptional case, obviously. The rule is, do whatever the authority said. So maybe that helps to your understanding. Good. Huh?
Shouldn't the disciple, if something is wrong, shouldn't the disciple inquire from the spiritual master before they approach the TBC and all that?
Well, if your guru is present, yes, check with your spiritual master if you have the opportunity to do so. Some gurus, though, some of our ISKCON gurus are more or less inaccessible to their disciples. So the GBC is always there as a resource. Okay, next.
Dear Srila Gurudev, I am not a native speaker, and it is difficult for me to understand the difference between being devoted and being surrendered. To surrender myself and to devote myself to God. What's the difference?
Okay, what is the difference between devotion, being devoted to God, and surrender to God?
Jautājums man ir par diviem angļu dabības vārdiem, kad mēs, kur būtība ir, kad nodoties vai uzticēties ar Dievam, surrender and devote, vienkārši es lūdzu Maharaj paskaidrot.
Devotion can be partial devotion. Someone has some feeling of devotion to God, but they're not surrendered to God.
It is difficult to translate into Latvian, therefore it is.
Yeah, because in Latvian is the same word. Teiksim tā, ka, piemēram, cilvēks kādam nu, mīl kādu, kādam seko. Un viņš var to darīt daļēji. Viņš nav tā, ka viņš ir pilnībā uzticējis sevi šim cilvēkam. Viņš to dar līdz kaut kādam līmenim.
For example, someone's the ordinary religionist has some feeling of devotion to God.
Teiksim, parastā, ka cilvēks parastā veidā seko reliģijai, ir kaut kāda ideja par to, ka nu, viņš seko Dievam.
But that devotion is mixed with getting something back from the Lord.
Bet tāpat laikā tas ir sajaucis ar to, ka viņš vēlas arī kaut ko dabūt no Dieva.
So, pure devotion and surrender are the same.
Tāpēc tīra sekošana ir tas pats, kas sevis uzticēšana.
But devotion may or may not be the same.
Bet vienkārši šī sekošana varbūt kas uzticēšana, teiksim, sekošana Dievam varētu būt tas pats, kas sevis uzticēšana Dievam, bet varētu ir nebūt.
Because that devotion may not be pure devotion, may be mixed with material desire.
Tāpēc, ka šī sekošana varētu arī nebūt tīra sekošana.
Next question.
Скажите, пожалуйста, вот этот материальный мир, он устроен так, что мужчина и женщина, они привлекаются друг к другу, создают потом семью, рожают детей. А я слышал, что этот материальный мир – это как бы отражение духовного. Есть ли что-то подобное в духовном мире или нет?
So, this material world is created in such a way that men and women, they are attracted to one another.
Yes.
And they get together, they create the progeny.
Yeah.
So, but I have heard also that material world is a reflection of spiritual world.
Yes.
So, is there anything like that in the spiritual world happening also? If material world is a reflection of spiritual world.
So, is there generation of progeny in the spiritual world?
Teiksim, jautājums varētu būt tā, vai tiek radīti pēcnācēji arī garīgajā pasaulē?
In the material world, there's no birth. Spiritual world, there's no birth.
Garīgajā valstībā nav dzimšanas.
And no death.
Un nav nāves.
So there's no birth, how there can be the activity of generating progeny, if there's no birth?
Teiksim, ja tur nav dzimšanas, tad kā gan šī pēcnācēju radīšana tur varētu notikt.
То есть получается, что в духовном мире отношения могут быть только с Кришной?
Does it mean that in spiritual world there can be only relationships with Krishna?
No, there are husbands and wives, and they love each other.
Ir arī vīri un sievas, un viņi mīl viens otru.
Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda, they are husband and wife, they love each other.
Nanda Maharaj un Mata Jasoda, viņi ir vīrs un sieva, un viņi mīl viens otru.
But are they in love, having puppy love with each other?
Bet vai viņi ir gluši tādā mīlestībā, tādā pusēna acīm, skatoties viens uz otru visu laiku?
Is Mother Jasoda thinking, ah, oh, Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj, Nanda
Maharaj.
No, we list. They are down. They are simply thinking Damodar, Damodar, Krishna. They're simply all their love is involved in Krishna. All their affection is involved in Krishna. In the spiritual world, everyone is madly in love with Krishna.
Garīgajā valstībā visi ir pilnīgi kā tada apratīgām, tā kā mīlestībā pret Krišnu.
That is the mood.
Tāds ir šis noskaņojums.
Not that someone is carried away by a beautiful woman or a handsome looking fellow in the material, in the spiritual world. They're not.
Nav tā, ka garīgajā pasaulē kāds ir, no.
They are drowned.
They are
drowning in the pools of ecstasy of transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna at every minute.
Patiesībā viņi slīkst šajā pārpasaulīgajā tīras Krišnas mīlestības ekstāzē.
That's where their hearts are.
Tur ir viņu sirdis.
Even married women. Doing their household duties.
Viņas pilda savus ģimenes pienākumus.
If they hear Krishna's flute.
Bet kādu brīdi viņas izdzird Krishna's flute.
Household duties finished.
Un visi ģimenes pienākumi.
Husband's abandoned. Krishna is blowing his flute. His hand. So try to understand what is the spiritual world. Next question. Wow. But we only got 4 or 5 minutes, so Krishna. Well, let's see. Who was first? I don't know who was first. Okay, Richard.
Есть утверждение, что когда мы поливаем корень, то все листья, они получают питание, то есть они становятся довольны. Когда преданный служит искренне Богу, то все должны быть довольны. А вот я не могу понять об этом, в этой связи, как, допустим, искренне преданный, допустим, Шрила Прабхупада, он полностью посвятил служению Господу, но у него были как бы недоброжелатели, были и даже родственники какое-то время не принимали как бы его. Вот как вот это правильно понять, почему все-таки остаются какие-то недоброжелатели?
How I understand that actually if the devotee surrenders open Krishna and serves Krishna, then he fulfills all duties and everybody should be happy with the devotee, satisfied with the devotee.
Yes, they should be.
We can see that even in life of Srila Prabhupada, who was purely serving Krishna, still there were some relatives who were not satisfied with him, and there were some evil wishers, somebody who also wasn't happy with Srila, even in the case of Srila Prabhupada. So
yes, yes, they should be, but they may not be.
Patiesībā, viņiem vajadzētu būt apmierinātiem ar šādu baktu, bet
because they are covered by the cloud of Maya. So whether they are pleased with you or displeased with you, you stick to your duty. Knowing fully well that by surrendering to Krishna, you're giving the best service to them also.
Skaidri saprotot, ka uzticot sevi Krišnam, jūs patiesībā veicat vislabāko kalpošanu arī viņiem.
Okay, one more question. Janis.
Hare Krishna, jautājums vakar jūs stāstījāt par četriem gudriem, ko radīja Brahma. Tas katrs izvērnīs no sampradē, viens bija, kas izvērnīja sāntjes, kā sampradē, kas īstenībā sāntjes filozofi, otrs bija, kas tāpas, trešais bija, kas jaukas mīstīt, un ceturtais bija tas, kurš atšķīr materiālā un nematerjālā. Un es gribu zināt, pie kuras sampradēs mēs pietrām.
You were yesterday mentioning that there were four sages who were he started for Sampradaya, he mentioned Santya Sampradaya, Yoga, Tapas,
there was four sages who were the founders of the Kumara Sampradaya. Yeah.
And his question is like actually to which Sampradaya do we belong?
Yes, we belong to the Sampradaya coming from their father, Lord Brahma.
Mēs piederam pie sampradājas, kas nāk no viņu tēva,
Kunga Brahmas.
We are called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. There's a very powerful acharya in the line of our Brahma line, named Madhvacharya, and then the Lord Chaitanya. We're in the Chaitanya branch of the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya.
Šajā sampradājā pēctecībā bija ļoti dižens acharya Madhvacharya, un savukārt mēs esam šīs Brahma Madhva sampradājas Chaitanyas zars, būdami kunga Chaitanyas sekotāji.
Should I stop here, Rishikesh?
His question actually was, there were mentioned four parties, four different philosophies, and his question was, to which philosophy we belong?
Oh, okay. They were teaching four different principles.
Yeah.
Our principle is pure bhakti.
Attiecībā par šiem četrām filozofijām, priekšminētajām mūsu principi tīra bhakti.
They were teaching four different sub-principles.
Viņi mācīja četrus dažādus apakšprincipus.
Sankhya, Yoga, Vairagya and Tapas. Those are subordinate principles.
Viņi bija apakšprincipi.
We are situated beyond all four of these. We are automatically doing all four of these by this process of bhakti.
Mēs esam ārpus šiem četriem principiem, jo sekojot bhakti, mēs piepildām visus četrus.
So, we're doing all four.
Tāpēc mēs sekojam visiem četriem.
By surrendering to Krishna, we are doing Sankhya, Vairagya, Yoga and Tapas.
Sekojot bhakti, visi šie četri minētie tiek paveikti.
So we should stop here?
Mēs ar to beidzam.
You're the president. Right, stop here. All right, we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any further questions, bring them to the class tonight.
Yeah, jūs ir vēl kādi jautājumi, lūdzu uzdodiet tos lekcijā šogad vakarā.
Sprej Srimad Sankaršan, Dasa Dikari Maharaj ki
jai.